Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
There's a problem in your praise, and so what I want to establish or what I want to convey to you is, what if I told you inside of you, you have the greatest tool ever known to man to be able to change your circumstances? I'm talking change your circumstances. A lot of times we come in and we wake up and things. The reason I did that is because that's how things happen in life. Things just happen, and it's like blah, 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 slapped in the face. Well, you've got the power inside of you to change and push it back. Somebody say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, the Holy Spirit changes everything. Changes everything. I didn't come today just for another church service. I didn't come just to hear a message. How many knows it's not about a song or a message? It's all about Jesus. If you don't have his presence, you can have a beautiful song and it can sound real good, and you can have talented people, and you can have people who come and articulate the word of God. But if there's no anointing, no presence of God, it ain't changing nothing other than the hours that you spend in a room dying to get out. But when the presence of God is there, it changes everything. So a lot of times when we say, when you say, and if you've been in church, you've heard those cliche statements that there's a breakthrough in your praise, or your victory is in your praise, or there's freedom in your praise, your healing is in your praise. But today I want to tell you that there is a problem in your praise. Somebody say, what are you talking about? Because when your praise becomes a problem for your problem. So that what you're doing, when it becomes an issue for the very one that's coming against you, trying to hold you back and prevent you from being where God wants you to be and moving forward. See, that's a problem. How many you love Jesus, but there's just some things that come up in the day and you want to call that a problem. How many? Am I the only one? Well, we can give the altar call right now and I'll just come on down here and then y'all can come pray for me. I mean, problems come in life, but I want what I do in my relationship with Jesus Christ so that when that thing comes, I want to respond in a way that becomes a problem for my problem. Amen? So what is praise and what is worship? What is this thing? And I'm not going to so much deal with what is worship. I want to deal with what the tool that you have to change circumstances, because guess what? If we're just going through everyday life and we come in here every Sunday and every Wednesday and we just go through a routine, it becomes a routine and there is no change. And if there's no change, you can't change the people that you work with. There's a reason why you were there. There's a reason why you have a collection of friends that you do. And it's for you to be able to be changed so that you can change others. Amen? So what is worship? I've always said this. Worship is simply this. A lot of definitions, but I like this one the best. Worship is the outward expression, or direct reflection of what's going on the inside. So if you don't have anything going on the inside, there's obviously not going to be anything coming out of you. What goes in comes out. Amen? In all kinds of ways. So it's not necessarily an outward expression of what's going on around us, unless you come up here on Sunday mornings and see what we see. Get it? It's an outward expression. It's not an expression of what's going on around us, although some of us let that become that. It's an outward expression of what's going on the inside of you. That's why when we often come into the house, we bring what they call a sacrifice of praise. A lot of times it's a sacrifice. Fake it till you make it. I mean, a lot of times I don't feel like coming up here and leading. I don't. A leader of worship to go, if you just worship, everything can change. Well, that's why when I say, hey, just do this, it'll make you feel better, because it does. When you really grasp a hold of the lyrics that hit a screen that says, no matter how far I run, you never stop loving me. Man, that's something to shout about. That's something to get excited about. How many of you ever walked in on a conversation? You walked into a room and your friends were having a conversation and you walked up and you kind of had that puzzled look like. Well, what is that? It's because you're not a part of the conversation and you're not really understanding what's being said. See, I see that same conversation, and a lot of worship leaders and a lot of pastors see that same thing happening at the start of every service when they hit the platform. People come into a room because they're not fluent, they're not understanding what's going on. Well, that's because they just started it. I say it all the time that worship is like a radio station. When you turn that radio dial on, there's a dialogue going on. It was already going on before you dialed in. And so a lot of times, or if you walk into a room and your family's watching a TV show, it takes a few minutes to get acclimated to what's really going on, right? It's the same thing with worship and church. If we haven't already been checking things out through the week or had a relationship with Christ, we walk in here, it takes us a few minutes to get acclimated. Uh-oh, I just pointed you out. See, a lot of times, that doesn't mean that I live in a bubble and that life's a bed of roses. Because life stinks just like yours does. But see, I have to get acclimated before I come in here. Because how in the world can I, say it again, how in the world can I take you to a place that's very unfamiliar to me? And he's up there going, oh, you want to, oh, okay, I'll just sit over here and watch you lead. Let you, since you know where they're going, you know where you need to go. And I don't need to be trying to work out my worship on your time. I should be doing that out there. Just like you shouldn't be trying to work out your relationship with Christ when you get in here. It should be something you do every day. Worship is not something you do when you get in here. It's a lifestyle and something that you do every day. So you've got a weapon so strong that doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter how you're doing in school. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on and raised on. It doesn't matter what somebody spoke over your life. A lot of people want to speak over your life because of something they saw in you or something they thought they saw in you. What if I could convince you that you have a weapon so strong that could literally change what you're going through right now? You possess it. You have it. You have the opportunity to grab a hold of that thing. I wanted to bring my gun in here, but I thought y'all might freak out. I have a possession, but if I don't fire that thing, it's no good. You have a weapon in your possession. And if you don't fire that thing from time to time, it's no good. Some of y'all need to pull it out and wipe the dust off. And I'm not referring to guns. Whatever your belief on gun control, that's you. That ain't none of my business. I'm just saying you've got a weapon inside of you that you need to start tapping into. And stop getting the hell beat out of you. I got to break it down in a way that you, because some of y'all start fading out quick. So hell, oh, he just said something. Yeah, he did. It's something you're facing every single day when the devil comes and beats the hell out of you. Are you expecting him to do anything else? That's all he knows. That's the only realm he works in is hell. So the only thing he's going to bring to you is hell. So when you got bad issues, you automatically identify, well, that's not necessarily God. No, it ain't God. He may allow it to happen to get our attention, but when it comes, it's from the devil. Well, God must be trying to test me. No. He might be trying to get you to learn something. So we need to get our act together and move through hell. I don't know. Southern hell. Hell. Listen, the very name of Jesus coming out of your mouth, the very name of Jesus can create cities to shake, can create the walls. I remember saying that when we first came down here, one of the very first messages, God showed me that as a ministry, we were going to tear down walls and strongholds. I was talking to Pastor Kirk last Sunday after church. If you were here, you missed it. You need to listen to that message on the podcast. But he was talking about how do we work together as churches in the area. And I said, brother, not so good. There are obvious walls. There ain't no walls in heaven. I've seen people get offended and leave church. And I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, you may not agree with them, but don't just walk out and not say nothing. Oh, you the man. Don't just walk out and not say, at least try to, you may not ever agree and that's okay. But when you get to heaven, what you gonna do? I'm gonna switch sides of heaven, east side, west side. It ain't like that. And I don't want to be the one calling the back room with the Father saying, maybe you shouldn't have been up here. Don't look for theological stuff on that. I can't back that up, but I'm just saying. I don't want to be, well, that's the kind of conversation we have. I mean, if he's that way with me down here, when I mess up and say something, he goes, Bradley, what in the world were you thinking? You think when I get up there, then I will be perfect and I won't have to worry about those conversations. But work with me here. What are we going to do? Well, I remember somebody back home, two ladies met in the bathroom and had a conversation. Next thing you know, both of them was out of church for months until we figured out what, there was a conversation, one didn't like what the other one said, and they got offended and left. You're both saved. Are you not going to see each other in heaven? Your praise becomes a problem for your sickness. That's that weapon. It's a problem in your praise. Not with, but in. It becomes a problem for your sickness. It becomes a problem for your lack when you praise. It becomes a problem for the school campuses that I've been able to visit and see, and I'm not there all the time like Dad and my wife, but man, things are crazy. But it becomes a problem for that problem. It becomes a problem for the self-esteem issue that every one of us have. You can say you don't have it. That's why we're flipping through Instagram, looking at everybody else's. Boy, I'd like to have that, like to have that, and some of these right here, and sixes of those. All of us deal with that stuff. But your praise, because the enemy tries to make you believe that you've got to look a certain way. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to help a brother out and help a sister out, and there's some things that we need to do. Just like planting seeds. Sure, when you were talking about it, when the farmer goes out, sure, he could go out there and lay on the dust. God, I just lay before you and I believe you're going to put some crop out here. Yeah, he could do that, but there's an aspect of something he's required of us to do, and that's called planting the seed. And if you're not willing to do the aspect that he is saying you have to do, don't expect him to do something on your behalf that you're not willing to lay down just a little something for. Josh, I'm trying to get to that scripture. It's still looking at me. Acts 16, if you want to go ahead and turn there, I'll be there momentarily. But your praise becomes a problem for that one thing that is preventing you from moving forward. And after today, you have a decision to make where you're going to say, Lord, it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I will worship you regardless. So that once you take that step, that then becomes, then there's a problem. We're going to talk about it right here. Acts chapter 16. I may have been in this story before. Some of you are familiar with this story. I wanted to be able to set this up, and time is not on my side. But you're familiar with the story. But because it's the only one that I could think of that relates to, well, we can, because if you can't relate to the word that's coming from a platform, if you can't relate, then it's not doing any good for you. It's got to be something to go, yep, that's me. I'm going through hell. And what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to tweet about it and Facebook and cry me a river and all this stuff and make everybody feel bad for me? No, go to the Father. Cry to him. So let's pick up the story that's already in progress. I wanted to be able to set that up, but if you want to do this so you can kind of get a little more in-depth of what really was going on, you can scoot back to 16. We won't go there now for time's sake, but we'll start at verse 25. And it says, about midnight. Somebody say, about midnight. We're jumping into this story. Two men serving God the right way, but they fell into some bad circumstances. How many have ever been there? You're trying to serve God with everything you got, but you're in the middle of things just don't feel right. You ever been there? If you haven't, get prepared, because after today, you're probably going to be faced with an uncomfortable situation. It's something we like to call adversity. But why at midnight? Because sometimes when your night is at its darkest, your praise needs to be at its loudest. Sometimes when all hell is coming against you, that's not time to be quiet. No, that's the time to step up and go, oh, you got something? I got something too. What you got? Mine's greater than yours. That's what the word says. Greater is he that is in me than you, and you're of the world. So you got people coming against you. I'm not talking about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah, that's going to win them to Jesus. That's worked, hasn't it? That's why there's empty seats in here. Some empty seats that are going to be filled in Jesus' name. So let's go back to the verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Let me tell you something. Our world, the communities that we live in, they're not interested in how Christians are doing. Excuse me. They're more interested at how we're doing when we're at the bottom versus when we're at the top. They see our status as I'm blessed, highly favored. That's great, and it's cool to confess those things. I do it myself, but when I'm trying to go out to the world, they don't I'm blessed. The first thing that hits their mind is a TV evangelist. I'm blessed. That's not me. I didn't get into ministry to become rich. Yes, I'm blessed and highly favored, and in the conclusion of the message, I get to share something with you if you've not already seen it but or know about it, but when I come up against, when I come in contact with people, I'm not talking, I'm blessed and highly favored. Hey, you know what, man? Life's been rough on me too. That's what I say. You got problems? I got problems. But you know what? I got the greater one inside of me. That's what people, they just need you to be real. They're tired of the fake stuff. Will somebody just be real with me? I just believe we've got a short window of opportunity to make things happen on the behalf of the kingdom of heaven. And if we miss the opportunity, number one, I think we're going to be judged because we're held accountable. And if we don't do it, I'm not talking about the church. Yeah, you and your daddy, y'all go do it. We'll pay our tithe and support you. That ain't how it works. We behind you all the way. We see you up there. Be blessed. Whatever. That's how the church does. It's time for us to get toe-to-toe and hand-to-hand, arm locked, and say, when you move, I move. When you get hit, oh, I get hit too. But see, what happens is when you're locked up and the enemy hits you, the strength that goes down the line, thank you, Holy Spirit, causes you to come back up. But when you're out there by yourself, and a lot of people choose to be by themselves because they're offended, they don't want to lock up. No wonder you're getting the hell beat out of you and you're on your face and, oh my God, Jesus, help me. Somebody help me. Pray for me. It's because you didn't lock up. Man. Yeah, I did. Verse 26 says suddenly. Say that suddenly. Listen, as soon as you begin to activate that thing, suddenly, that's how God works. It's not always on our time schedule. When you need something, you need guidance, you need wisdom to pass a test, you got issues with your parents and whatever, or your kids, when you turn to Him, suddenly it'll happen. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen right at that moment. See, I'm just going to break it down and be real, because if I said, oh, yes, as soon as you do it, God will deliver. There's some other things that you have to activate. And if He doesn't come immediately, that just means he's trying to stretch you. He's trying to teach you something. Instead of saying, God, why is this happening? What do you want me to learn so I can get myself out of this mess, not look at this test anymore? So suddenly, so here they are. They had already been beaten. I know some of us look at this picture and, oh, they got locked up and now they're in prison and now they're going to sing. No, they were beaten. Beaten. If I come down and just slapped you in the face right now, well, number one, it's going to tick you off. But if I told you there's not anything you can do about it, and I'm going to keep hitting you, and then I'm going to throw you in a dungeon, then I'm going to throw you in a prison. If I took a poll, I don't think anybody in the room is going, yeah, the first thing hit my mind is I'm going to start singing. Just as I am with the blood running down my face, I come. I mean, how many of us would say, that's the first thing that's going to hit my mind? After you get mad, and after you say, okay, God, I've been with you. I saw you spit in the mud and slap people in the face, and they got sight. I saw people's flesh falling off, and you laid hands on them, and it all came back together, and it was all clean. And I walked with you, and I talked with you, and I heard you tell me that I'm your own. And now you've got me in here, and I'm getting the hell beat out of me, literally, and I'm in this dungeon. And now what? And now what am I supposed to do? Worship? Please. But suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake. Again, once you tap into that thing, I'm telling you, suddenly, there's going to be an earthquake and things are going to begin to move and shake in your life. And I can tell you, if you're like me, you need some stuff to move and shake in your life. Somebody say, well, not really, not me, because I got lots of stuff shaking. Well, that's because it's shaking, because you're in the wrong place and you don't have yourself planted on a firm foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. You can't be moved. And then all these things that shouldn't be connected, they'll fall off. When you're standing on the cornerstone, the rock. I love that song that we've been singing, that new song. It's because it says, through the storm. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through them, as in they're going to happen, but you're going to go through the storm. And then the next line says, He's Lord. Through the storm. Through the storm. Whatever you're going through today, checkbook balance zero. Creditors blowing up my phone. Whatever your issue is, you need to start applying some things that James said when he's up here. And oh, he's just trying to get us to give. God don't need your money, but you sure need to give it. And I'm not trying to boost up a salary. I'm saying you sure need to give it, because if not, you're walking around with just nothing going on. And this is not even an offering message. But when you were sharing, I'm just like, God, may we get this, because there's a part we have to play. There's something that we have to do to advance the kingdom. If we're not advancing the kingdom and it just stays here, it begins to stink. But we want to advance it, move it forward. So it said, suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all, everybody say all. All the prison doors flew open. And everybody, say everybody. Everybody's chains came loose. Why is it important for us to be obedient? Not obedient to a worship leader or somebody says, lift your hands. But you don't know who's sitting next to you, who's going through all kinds of stuff. And when you just begin to make up in your mind, it don't matter what I'm going through, I'm going to worship. I'm going to activate the tool that the boy said is in me. I'm going to grab a hold of that thing and I'm going to start shooting up. So that everybody around me feels the effect. There's people in here that just come for whatever reason. They maybe don't even come because they want to surrender. They just want to come because that's the thing to do. They may not even have in their mind that I need to be set free from anything. Let me tell you something. God drew you here whether you realize why you came and for what you came. And some of you will be set free, and there will be those that will come in here that will be set free before any word is ever said, because again, it's not about the song or the message or the sermon. It's about His presence. And when we connect with His presence, there's people sitting down your row that everything's going to begin to change for them, and there's going to be shackles that are going to be broken. They're not even going to know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, they're going to start crying. And you're going, oh my God. And you had a part of that. That's when we praise. That's why when we praise corporately, something happens. It matters. It matters. Verse 27, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself. We are all here. What in the world? How in the world? The people that deserve to be in there? Man, if the prison doors opened up and I was a heathen and I didn't belong in there and you said I can go, holla, I'm out. But what kept them there? They knew. They heard them boys when they came in. They heard Paul and Silas. They saw the condition they were in when they got thrown in there. Just like the people, your friends, the people you work with, they see the condition. They see the stuff you're going through. They're also seeing how you're responding. When you're at the bottom, they don't care about when you're at the top and everything's going great for you. Shut up. That's probably what they're saying. I know that's a cuss word for some people, but anyway. They're like, I don't want to hear about it, your blessings. But when you're at the bottom and all hell's coming against you, and you still can say, I can look up and say, my Savior, He walks with me. He's right here. Well, that sounds kind of weird. Didn't y'all know He didn't call you to be normal? He called you to be weird. And when you become weird, the Bible says we're peculiar people. And when the people that you're working with, and they see you acting that way, they go, well, that's different. Because I am different. I need to be different. If I have to walk around and tell you I'm different, I'm a Christian. I'm different. You know different than the rest of those Christians. And there is a difference. I don't want to be part of that group. I want to be part of that group that says, yep, I was down, but I learned to link up so that when the enemy tries to put me down, I ain't going. I may bend and I may, yeah, but I'm coming right back up because I did something. I did something. I didn't do it on my own strength. I mean, because the enemy would say, oh, look at him up there talking about he did it on his own. No, I didn't. I did it because I surrendered and said, not my will, but your will be done. Not in my strength, but your strength inside of me. See, I got to, the devil be stupid sometimes, right? Oh, look who he thinks he is. Nothing without Jesus. And those of us that try to do it on our own without him, we're crazy. There's a difference between weird and crazy. You're crazy if you try to do it all on your own without him. So inside of you, verse 29, the jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Listen, your praise has a way of creating an avenue for those around you to say, what can I do to get what you got? Because when all hell's coming against me, I need to have that same bounce back. And whatever it is you got, I need that. Because I'm tired of eating dirt. I'm tired of having my face down. I'm tired of laying on my back going, will somebody help me? And all the Christians walking around, I'm blessed and highly favored. It's time for the church to reach down and go, because of his blessings in my life, I can repair you. That's what we're called to do. Reconcile, repair the broken. When we in men's ministry breakfast, and if you missed it, you just missed it. We talked about reconciliation and what that is, and Brother Lavelle said, it's repair. And then I start thinking about when we go to Walmart, all the broken people. When we use the term broken in church, we're thinking about people who are at the altar and they're weeping and they're broken because they recognize they've messed up and they need help. But there are people right out there that are broken, and I'm talking about a broken that they're broken because without Christ, you're not whole. You're broke. You're broken. And so our job is to repair and restore people. So we need to be looking every day. How can I help repair and restore the people that I see are broken? Now when he said that, now even though I'm a PK and I preach and all that stuff, I preach and all that stuff, it never dawned on me that way. Everybody that I come in contact with, if they're not saved, if they don't have a relationship with Christ, they're broken. So I have a responsibility to help pick up the pieces of shattered lives that people have destroyed and help them restore and repair. But I can't do that because what you do in private affects what happens in public. And if you're not getting your praise on at home before you get in here, when you get in here, it is unfamiliar. And then when you get back out there and you can't help nobody if it's unfamiliar to you. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Because I'm... Listen, it's the power of your praise. You don't need a worship team. You don't need a degree. You don't need a pulpit. You don't need a name on a chair that says this is who I am. You don't need a business card for the ministry. You don't need any ministry background. You don't have to memorize Leviticus. You don't need it. All you need is your praise. You've got a tool to change the lives of people you come in contact with. And this is my prayer is this. My prayer is this, that there will be so much praise coming out of this house that it won't matter what the world does to you. It will not change what comes through you. Let me say that again. There should be so much praise coming from this house. Not the building, but the people who gather here. That there should be so much praise that it will not affect what the world is throwing at you. And it sure won't change what is going to come out of you because you've got something to say no. When we do that part of the song, it says, nothing can stop me. And I always say, no, nothing. There isn't anything. The enemy tries to let us. He may not be able to cause circumstances to cause you to lose your salvation, but he sure can make it no fun while you're doing it. And I refuse. I refuse. Got to bring this thing down. Every time I read this story, this is what I hear from this story. It reminds me of this. Your praise, and you can write this down. It should be on the screen. Your praise has to always overcome your preference. Your praise has to always overcome your preference. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like going to church. if you don't feel like it and life and stuff's going on and the enemy's trying to say, well, just don't go to church, this is too hard, he'll try to convince you that everything's going wrong, you don't need to be there. Let me tell you something. How many of you go to a hospital totally whole and totally feeling great and just walk in and crawl up in a bed and just lay down? Hanging out, check the TV. How many of you do that? No. Because what's the hospital for? Sick people. What's the church for? Sick people. If you come in here and you say, well, I got to wait till things start getting better for me in my circumstances, you've missed it. You got to come in here when you're sick and when all hell's coming against you and you ain't got an answer. You got to come to a place that is the answer. That's why we go to a hospital, check ourselves in, and say, Doc, you got the answer and I need it. I never have understood that. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it because somebody might get offended. Oh, well. If it saves you from hell because I told you the truth, then I did my job. Man, I hope I'm not being too hard. I don't know what else to do. People feel like they got to come in here and they got to have everything together and everything's got to be perfect before they can come in. God uses messed up people to reach messed up people. Our next T-shirt, forward T-shirt, yeah. It's going to say, no perfect people allowed. Ain't having it. Ain't none of us going to be perfect. Stop the clock. Stop the clock. Can you imagine if Jesus took on the mentality of most Christians? I just don't feel like it today. Sorry, Zacchaeus. Who's Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. So he climbed up in that sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he did not say, Zacchaeus, I need some me time today. Can't come to your house today. I'll just let that marinate just for a minute. Just turn that up and let that flame up one time. But that's how we do. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Person with Leprosy. I see your skin melting off like the lady on The Wizard of Oz, but I got some me time today, and I hope you get it. Make it happen. Go to your prayer group, and maybe they'll lay hands on you. No, you carry it. You carry the weapon to change people's circumstances. Stop looking for somebody else. I'm not coming to church tonight. I need some me time. Where'd all them toes go? They just went. You know why I can say that? Because I said the same doggone thing on the other side of that wall. Write this down. Your praise in private, and I think I already said this, your praise in private is what empowers you in public. I like it better that way. Your praise in private, what you do in private, empowers you for your public ministry. Some of y'all are going to be pressed up against the wall this week, and you're going to come back in and say, no matter what I see, it's not going to change what I say. No matter how I feel, it's not going to change who I serve. What you doing? Why are you stalling? I'm cutting and pasting. I'm listening to him to say, what part of this do I need to make sure? Two reasons why we need to praise God, and I'm done. Two reasons why we need to praise God. Write these down. You can't get into heaven unless you write these down. I'm just telling you. They're going to ask you on that date, where's your notes? I kid. Some of you came in thinking you were in prison, but today you're going to praise your way out of it in just a moment. In the closing moments that we have. Number one, why do we praise? Because he has already done more than you think he has. He is faithful. He's already done more than you think he has. Ephesians, I'm skipping that other verse, Josh. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Now, not when things begin to look better. Now. Say now. Now, in this moment, wherever you are, once you begin to pray, now to him who is able, he's able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. We worship God not because he's forgotten who he is. We need to worship God so that we will always remember who he is. So we will remember how quick we forget. So we worship because he's done more. If anything else, any other reason, you take that one time of your life. And for me, it's more than just one. I know some of y'all lived a lot better than I have. One time. And go, I worship you because you removed me from that situation where I should have been dead, locked up. Well, actually, I was for a short period of time. See, y'all can't handle that part of the truth. And in that moment, God, I worship you because I know where I could have been had it not been for your grace. And you stand there with no tears in your eyes. Something's wrong. Most of you know the situation. We moved down here in January, all that. I'm not going to rehash that. And y'all been hearing for 9 months. Man, we could have had a baby by now. The house that we moved into, we were leasing, waiting on a close. I have never, we bought a home the year before we moved here, moved in January, sold it in less than 2 months after we left in a city where nice houses, because it was a nice house, there's a lot of them. And so it wasn't like they didn't have houses to choose from, but they chose ours. And we moved down here and waiting to close on a house and get phone calls from the owners of the house, even though we signed an agreement. We're going to lease until this thing. I mean, it wasn't our fault that the mortgage company, and I'm going to be real kind when I say that, when the mortgage company, the lady, thought that it went and left and went to the lender, it sat on her desk, and she thought it was gone, and it began to get packed, stacked with papers, and they thought the whole time it was gone. And we're getting phone calls from the people who own the house that said, if y'all don't get this thing closed, like we had something to do with that, if y'all don't get this thing closed, y'all gonna have to go. I got to the one point, I told Amy, I said, if they call one more time, I'm out. Done. And then she started looking at house on the internet to rent until whatever could happen and to get out of that house. And I just got to the point where I said, no. God told us that was going to be our house. And the whole time I'm believing it. But it didn't happen suddenly. It happened 9 months later. Can I tell you, on Friday afternoon of this week, almost 9 months, we get a phone call that says, we're closing today. You want to talk about a praise? Then I'm nervous because we get the call like after lunch and I got to get a cashier's check because we, and y'all, I'm just laying it all out there. Amy taught all half the school year last year. First year teachers don't get paid through the summer. I've already shared that with you, but miraculously God provided for our family. Her income didn't help. There was none. God provided, and we knew that August was going to be a stretch, and through the sale of our other home, we left a certain amount that we were told was going to have to be the down payment. Why are you telling us all your personal business? Because I'm trying to tell you, I want you to see how the odds were stacked up and how our back was against the wall. We put that money back, and every week, because in August, we knew it was going to be tight, and I started seeing us all of a sudden have to leap over and start touching that amount that we had to leave in there for the closing. And when we were supposed to close about a month ago, our closing costs, they told us, doubled, because they made a mistake and they tried to cover it up. And it doubled. And there was no way. And so, you know what I think happened? God said, that's not the way that I had this thing planned. So we're going to hold it. And it sat on somebody's desk until it was made right. Am I wrong? They had to correct the issue and then put it back. And so then when I get the call Friday, I told him, I said, I need to know what that bottom line is. I got to go to the bank and get a cashier's check for this amount. And inside I'm going, and if it's what you said the first time, it ain't there. This is about $1,000 short. When she called me back, I almost fell out of my desk at the house. It was under the amount. It was under the amount they told us. and left a little bit of cushion in there because she still don't get a paycheck to the end of this month. Someone said, well, that was nice and sweet. Let me tell you something. It was more than nice and sweet. Why'd you tell us all that? Because life happens, and people are watching to see how I respond and how I still come in here, even though I get a phone call 30 minutes before we come into church that says, y'all going to have to move. And I'm saying, but God, you said that was our house. But these people said, and they own that, you're going to have to move. And I'm thinking, no, you're going to have to move. So God is faithful. Number two, the last reason why we praise God, because he's going to do more than you think he is. Because all I said was, God, we put the money and we're going to hold that. And we weren't able to hold that money. And we had to dip into it. God, you got to do something. He blew our minds. So you'll never hear me say anything else about that doggone house. We are proud owners of the home he provided for us and gave us. I know it's unorthodox to get excited about somebody else. I know that's not comfortable. And it's kind of ironic how we go to pay money to watch Bieber. We go to NASCAR and scream at a car going around a circle. We're going to go watch the pigskin get thrown around the thing. And we're going to go crazy over somebody else that can't do nothing for us. Well, that's cool, but I still got stuff going on in my life, so I can't really get excited for you. And where's your weapon at? Where's your weapon? Going to do that song, and I'm not going to. If you're here this morning, and I'm going to get Dad to come and pray, this is how we're going to end. And you say, you know what? I have not activated my weapon, but today I'll be doggone if I'm going to get pushed around and get my back in the corner. I'm linking up with the other people around me. I'm linking up so that when he's going to come, the enemy's going to come. Hear me. He's coming. But when he does, and he tries to push you down, and you're doing, oh my God, Jesus. And other people, yeah, hang in there. We're going together. Boom. Some of y'all looking for that. It's because you're trying to do it on your own. You're trying to hold your marriage together on your own. You're trying to fix your finances on your own. You're trying to be a student and stay sexually pure and on a campus where everything's going and everybody's doing it and everything's wherever. It's because you're trying to do it on your own. And the reason we give up is because we're doing it on our own. How many tired of doing it on their own? Then stand to your feet all over this room. Don't stand up for my benefit because if we all stand, we'll pray and get out of here because we got to come back tonight because you made us feel guilty. No, I didn't. That was the Holy Spirit. Just to see what you do. Dad's going to come, and he's going to pray. Because there is work to do in the city. There is work to do. People, all they're looking for is for you to say, hey, I like them shoes. Hey, I like yours too. Hey, you want to come to church with me? See how that flow, it's not. Let me get my tracks out. And I've been praying for you, brother. And I've noticed that you've been going through a hard time. And man, the church is the place to be. Phooey. It works for some people, but what we're trying, and I'm not knocking that. What I'm saying is, listen, Linda, listen. Listen. I had to pull you back in, so I use that. Listen. That works, but it's not working for everybody, and God's called us to get those that aren't being reached the traditional way that's not working anymore for that section of town. So people who want to say Pastor Dennis' son is bashing all the other churches, let me tell you something. We were labeled by another. We were labeled the hottest flavor in town. Man, I would rather be the hottest flavor in town than people want to come and check it out. Than to be the flavor that's all molded up in a store that you can't even get in the doors to. And that's all I'm going to say. Sick and tired of the enemy trying to put in other believers. We on the same doggone team. He's just bashing. I'm not bashing anybody. All I'm saying is, if there's some other fish out there that we need to be getting, it's time to change bait, bless God. And so what our job is, I know Dad and I like to do this all the time, but what I want to do is put bait in your hand. I want to put bait in your hand. I want to put something inside of you that you can go reach the people that ain't getting reached.
That's right.
That's why we're here. And if you're running low, you find somebody that you go to church with, and bless God, you go, I need some bait. Give me some bait. I don't want to come in here and sing a song and pray that the church grows so we can get out of this house, even though we're thankful for it. We know that God has got land for us in a facility that's going to reach thousands of people. Oh my God, thousands of people. Well, we can't even get 300 in here. Y'all got almost 200 people in here today. And you want to put the kids in the mix, you're all talking 250, close to 300. Somebody say, what you doing? I'm trying to get you doggone fired up. I'm trying to throw some gasoline and some kerosene on a fire that's there, but you just need a little something extra. You need bait. You need bait. 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 Go reach those kids. Go reach the people you go to school with. Go reach those people on the football team. You look across that line and say, you know Jesus, because I'm getting ready to bust you wide open. Well, that didn't sound like Jesus to me. I'm done. That didn't sound like Jesus to me. You got to talk in a lingo they can understand. If Jesus was to walk this earth today and he showed up dressed in a way that we didn't agree with and rode up in a ride that we were like, oh my God, some of the church would be like, that can't be Jesus. Because his word said he never changes. He don't. But I guarantee you he's going to make it relevant so that we can all understand, because he wants the greater impact. And that's the heartbeat of this church and this ministry, is for greater impact. We're not trying to steal from no other church. There is no competition. And one day those walls are going to fall between the churches. And if we can be used as a guinea pig to show other, hey, there's other people out there we got to reach. They're going to pick us apart, and that's okay. Get ready. YouTube videos, Pastor Dennis said, and they're going to all be spliced together. That stuff comes with it. It's all right. But as long as somebody else is learning who Jesus is, he loves them, and he's sick and tired of seeing them just do life on their own, in their own strength. That's what he's going to use you for. But you got to get your tool. You got to get your weapon. You got to tap into something on the inside of you. And then be here Wednesday night. I've got one more word on the breaking point. Because some of you are at the breaking point. What do you do when you're at the breaking point? You're not gonna walk through the breaking point without your weapon, without your tool, without your weapon. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.